Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. But you know, there are some exciting things happening in our church. I don't know. I know many of you weren't there because it was primarily for the little ones and some of their teachers, some family members showed up. But we've started something new down the hallway called Sabbath School Spark. You know, they say it only takes a spark to get a fire going, amen? Right? And it's a little child shall lead them. Well, our children are going to lead the way with Sabbath School Spark. It was great. They sang some great songs down there, had even a little skit that they did all before they went off to their Sabbath School class. And they even had pancakes. I was a little jealous of that. Well, also, we have another opportunity coming up. Not only do we have VBX coming, so we call it VBX now instead of VBS because it's a vacation Bible school experience. That's where they get the X from, okay? And I've seen the songs, and I can't wait to sing them here in church because they are awesome. I texted Katrina last night when I was after I had looked at them. I said, these are so awesome! Love it. Love it. So I'm going to be learning those. I'm going to be gone this week. And I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to be driving for about 12 hours, you know, not all at once, you know, 6 hours there, 6 hours back. And I said, I want the soundtracks and I want the words so we can be practicing those songs on our drive there and our drive back. I said, we won't go through the motions while I'm driving, though. We won't do that. Okay, so we'll be safe on the road. But we also have another experience that's coming up called our block party. Does anybody remember our block party? When is our block party? Okay, August 5. That's right. August 5 from 4 to 7, we're going to have a block party. What is that? It's a party for our block. Okay? For our block. Put on by the church. We're going to have corn. We're going to have some dessert. We're going to have fun things for the kids, kiddos to do and even the adults. And so we're just, it's a time to get together and mingle, right? Get to know our neighbors and to share the love that Christ has for us. And so last week we passed out these cards. We have some cards yet available. If you were not with us last week, because there were some that pointed out, hey, we weren't here last week. We heard about this block party thing. How do we get involved? Well, we're going to have some cards available as you leave today. If you didn't get an opportunity to get one of these cards to fill it out, please do so today. Get it up, fill it out, volunteer in whatever way that you can. You can hand out invitations to people. You can help set up. You can help tear down. You can help be a part of so many different things. So please make sure you pick up one of those and get involved. And the last little commercial here I want to share. This is so cool. I'm glad. Marta, thank you so much for your creativity, you know, and pulling this off. So I don't know if you've noticed yet or not, but, you know, we have our bulletins that we, you know, give out each week, and, you know, people always want to know what's going on. Well, we can't really take all the time during the church service to point out everything that's going on, so each week we put this stapled insert in the middle of the bulletin that shows 30 days out on a calendar like this what's happening. If you look at the other front part of that, it talks about what's happening this week, what's happening today, and on the back side of it, it tells about what's happening at our local church school, Caldwell Christian Elementary School, okay, right there, and then what's happening at Gem State Academy. The neat thing about the way that Marta has set this up, you can actually just take this insert now and pull it. Okay, I guess it's gone as low as it can go. All right, you can pull it out, and the neat thing is you can put it right on your refrigerator. So every week, you can have an update of what's taking place at the Caldwell Church. And if you miss a week, you still have this calendar to go through, and you can pick up the next edition the next time you're here. So you don't have to keep the whole bulletin. Now you can just toss that aside if you want to. But you put this on your bulletin, or your bulletin board, or your refrigerator, like so many of us still do. So, with that in mind, today, we have a special day. This is what we would consider a high Sabbath in our church. We are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And what I'd like to invite you to do is to take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter what? 13. That's right. John chapter 13. And we're going to start with verse 1. Our message today is titled what? True Freedom. Some of you looked at your bulletin. That's right. True Freedom. You know, we have just celebrated our independence from England here this last week, and the other freedoms that we enjoy as a country. But, you know, if we were to be honest, there's something that we find ourselves still in bondage to. Sin. Today I'm going to talk about true freedom. How we can have true freedom in Christ. How we have true freedom in Christ. And one of the things that we do as we recognize that true freedom, as we celebrate it through the Lord's Supper, is we practice in the Adventist Church an ordinance called foot washing. And so where do we get that from? Well, we get it from the Bible. Where else? Right? If it's not in the Bible, we shouldn't participate in it, right? So here we are. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of what? Okay, so what is Jesus showing them? The full extent of his love. Okay, so that's our foundation. That's our premise that we're working from today. As we look at what we're about to look at, it is an example or it is an evidence of Jesus showing us the full extent of God's love. All right? The full extent of God's love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, under Jesus' power, and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So did he have an identity crisis here? No. Did Jesus know who he was? Absolutely. He knew who he was. Okay? No mystery about it. Notice what happens next. Verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He was taking on the role of a servant. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And Peter says, "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter replies, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and Savior, or teacher, have washed your feet, you should do what? Wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than whom? His master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? If you do them." You see, in Jesus' day, You know, they wore these things called sandals. You know, we wear flip-flops today, we wear sandals. But unlike our roads and terrain, where Jesus and his disciples were was very dusty, it was very dirty. Okay? And also unlike us today, when we go and we sit at a table, we sit at a table with a chair. We pull a chair up, our feet are where? On the floor, not in Jesus' day, not at the time during this Passover meal. They reclined at the table or near the table. The table was mostly probably set up like in a U shape, okay, so the servers could get into the middle, and they reclined at the table. And their table was very low, okay, not high, and it was in the same area of proximity that their feet was probably about the same level of the food. And their feet had gotten dirty, right? And so it was customary in Jesus' day to have a servant to be prepared to wash the feet of the guests who were coming to the table, because not as they reclined at the table, their feet are going to be pretty close. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be eating next to somebody with stinky feet. Right? Little joke there. So Jesus, I mean, the disciples had made preparation for the meal just as Jesus required or asked them to do, but no one made preparation for someone to wash the feet of the guests. And so we come to this point where Jesus, knowing who he was, that's very important. That's the preamble to this. Knowing who he was. And what was he coming to show? The full extent of his Father's love, right? Of his love, his Father's love, the Holy Spirit's love. Okay? And he begins to take the role of a servant to wash the feet of the disciples. This all occurred in the upper room during the Last Supper. And it has significance in three ways. I'm going to quickly cover these with us. All right? Number one, for Jesus, it was the display of his humility and his servanthood. Okay? And who did he represent? The Father. Jesus said of himself, did he come to serve or to be served or to serve? To serve. Okay? In Matthew 20:28, he says that. It says also that he came to give his life as a ransom for who? For many, for us, right? Came to give his life as a ransom for us. Again, evidence of his heart. The heart of God is a one of service. We need to remember that, friends. We need to keep this in the context of what it's written. True Christianity is not a group of people trying to appease a God and to serve him in evidence to gain his love, but it starts with a God who loves, who has come to serve, and he gave. The humility expressed by Jesus' act with the towel and the basin foreshadowed his ultimate act of humility and love that we would see displayed on the cross. Number two, the significance of this foot washing. For the disciples, the washing of their feet was in direct contrast to the heart attitudes at that time. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, we find the disciples having this discussion, this argument, so to speak, as who is going to be the greatest. That's the attitude that they're coming to the table with. This is just prior. Who's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom? Who's going to sit on Jesus' left and who's going to sit on his right? Even there as they came to the table, I'm sure there was a little pushing and shoving as far as who's going to be able to sit next to Jesus. right? Is that the heart of God? Again, what was Jesus choosing to show them through these actions? His love, the character of God, the true character of God. Knowing who he was, he took out his outer garments and he put on a servant's role. But the disciples weren't there to be the servant. They were there thinking that they would sit in a place of honor to be served. And since there was no servant present to wash their feet, it wouldn't even cross their minds to take that role themselves. And you can imagine the horror that they felt when they see their Lord and Master beginning to take that role. We see that so evidently displayed. We pick out on Peter, but I'm sure the other disciples were in such shock. They didn't know how to act or how to respond. But, you know, Peter, impetuous Peter, you know, he just like blurts it out. Whoa, no! Not my feet, Lord. No, not you, not washing my feet. Then Jesus said something that must have further shocked Peter. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Verse 8. Prompting Peter to say, no, then, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, wash every whit of me, all over. And what did Jesus say? He says, no, Peter. You know, because again, they were coming to this feast. I'm sure they've made preparation. I'm sure, you know, bathing was still the practice of the day. But on the way to the place of the meal, the feet would be soiled, right? See, Peter had experienced the cleansing of salvation, and he didn't need to be washed again in a spiritual sense. Salvation is a one-time act of justification by faith. But the lifelong process, how long? Lifelong process of sanctification is one of washing from the stain of sin we experience as we walk through this world. You see, even though we're born again Christians, we still have a nature that is fallen, that is faulty. We've assumed or we've taken upon ourselves a new nature God has given us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And these two reside together, and there is a battle that takes place. But sometimes we fault and we yield to that lowly nature, and our feet get dirty, so to speak. Our hearts are still with who? With Jesus, right? But our flesh is sometimes weak. And so there's a need for a washing continually. Sanctification, therefore, is a work of how long? A lifetime. And that's what this is representing here. We don't have to question our security in Christ as far as our salvation is concerned in the sense of justification, because we have faith that our salvation is secure in whom? In Christ. And where is Jesus? In heaven. Satan can't touch that. But our faith sometimes wavers, and sometimes we fall. And through that sanctification, there's still that need of continual cleansing. Amen? This is just one of several from this incident that Christians can apply to their own lives. First, when we come to Christ for the washing of our sins, we can be sure then that it is permanent and it is complete. No act can cleanse us further from sin, as our sin has been exchanged for the perfect righteousness of Christ on the cross. In other words, friends, no other performance, nobody can add to what Christ has done. His righteousness is enough. Isn't it? His righteousness is enough. We can't add to that. But we do need continual cleansing from the effects of the living in the flesh in a sin-cursed world. The continual washing of sanctification is done by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us through the washing of the water of the Word, as Paul says in Ephesians, and given to us to equip us for every good work. Now, before I share the third lesson today from this upper room experience, I want to share with you a modern day parable concerning another room. I'll have them show the video at this time, and if you could turn the lights off at the front so they can see it.
In that place between wakefulness and dreams, I found myself in the room. There were no distinguishing features save for the mysterious array of black cabinets which surrounded me. As I drew near the closest array of cabinets, I discovered one of them to be labeled dating. I was shocked that I recognized the names written on each one. I felt strange as I opened the next drawer to confirm the truth. Suddenly, it hit me. This was some sort of crude filing system for my life. Every detail, every action. I began randomly moving from cabinet to cabinet, opening drawers and searching their contents. The labels ranged from the mundane to the outright weird. Often there were many more files than I expected, sometimes fewer than I had hoped. I was overwhelmed by the sheer volume of the life I had lived. Could it be possible that I had the time in my short life to write each of these thousands, possibly millions of files? But each file confirmed this truth. Each was signed with my signature. I felt a chill run through my body as my curiosity overcame me. Once again, I found myself confronted with the memories of my past. I felt sick to think that such details had been recorded. Suddenly, I felt an animal rage. One thought dominated my mind. No one must ever see these files. No one can see this room. Defeated and utterly helpless, I returned the file to its drawer. As he began to open and read the files, he seemed to intuitively go to the worst ones. Why did he have to read every one? Suddenly, he was by my side. He could have said so many things, but he didn't say a word. He just cried with me. Then he returned to the files. Starting on one side of the room, he took out a file and began to cover my name. I shouted for him to stop, rushed up and took the card from him. He doesn't deserve this. There it was, marked in red, so rich, so dark, so alive. The mark of Jesus covered mine. My name was covered in his blood. Out of the room. There was no lock on its door. There were still files to be written.
We all have that, in a sense, that proverbial filing system. Those things we're not very proud of. And even today, again, we find ourselves from time to time stumbling And we could, if we didn't understand things, we could allow those past items, those things that we even wrestle with at this moment, to allow them to put us in a prison cell, so to speak. A bondage of guilt. A bondage of sorrow that would overwhelm us to the point where we become ineffective. But as Christians, when we understand the sacrifice that's been made on our behalf, when we understand the blood that has been shed for us, and taking care of that multitude of sins, knowing the salvation that we have in Christ, we can have security. We can have a peace. And when we find ourselves at those moments of weakness, we can still, with confidence, look up and see a Savior. Who, in a sense, like this video portrayed, kneeling, if we're in that moment, being at our side and weeping with us, but trying to encourage us and give us strength to do what? To get back up. Right? I don't know when you made your first commitment to Christ and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. But like me, I would venture from that time, there's been some shortcomings. Your feet are dirty, so to speak. And so we practice the Lord's Supper on a regular basis in the church, and we perform the act of foot washing to remind us of those things, right? But I'm going to give you another opportunity today. Something that we'll do a little bit different. So I want to look here, as I introduce that, to the third lesson from this foot washing. For us, washing feet is symbolic of our role in the body of Christ. We are to receive love, and we are also to what? Give love. We receive love, therefore we can give love. Jesus knew His identity, the love the Father had for Him, and therefore He could securely do what? Give love and serve love. Receive love. Again, the washing of our feet symbolizes our willingness to receive the cleansing power of God's grace and His love. And like I said, we're going to add a new element today, just for today, something a little different that we'll do prior to washing our feet. There are some people who sometime avoid communion, the Lord's Supper, because it's difficult for them physically to perform the act of foot washing, or something else prohibits them. And so they sometimes feel like, well, I can't participate in the Lord's Supper because I'm not able to do this. Okay, remember, the act of foot washing is an element of receiving love and do what? Giving love. So here's the step for the receiving part, okay? In the pew, you're going to find some pens or pencils. There's also in the pew a sheet of paper, I should have brought one of them up here, called scratch paper. I think that's what's titled. Oh, scribble paper. Scribble paper. What I'd like to do is give you an opportunity here. We're just going to take a couple of minutes. Take that paper. You don't have to put your name on it or anything like that. And you can do one of many things. You can draw pictures. You can literally scribble. You can write tiny so no one else reads it. Whatever you want to do, and the things that those images represent are the things right now in your life that you need to turn over to God. Maybe there's a besetting sin in your life, something you've continually struggled with, and the guilt and the shame that you feel because of it. Maybe there's a wrong that you've wronged someone with, that you know you've wronged someone with, and the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. Like I said, you can scribble it, you can draw a picture, you can do whatever you want. Or maybe you're holding on to some guilt, because we often focus on the performance side, the outward part of sin, but what about guilt? Isn't guilt sin? Unhealthy guilt? In holding on to something that Jesus says, I want to take from you. If you've given it to Jesus, don't keep taking it back. So if there's some guilt or pain, put it on there. When you leave for foot washing, for those of us that will go for the foot washing, we have in the foyer 2 paper shredders. And what you're going to do with those is you're going to give it to Jesus. You're going to just let them be shredded. Because that's what he remembers them no more. He wants to take those from you. He wants to shred those things so that you can't keep putting them back together and carrying them. Right? You'll put them in there. Those of you that aren't able to go to foot washing, what we'll do is we'll pick those up for you. We won't look at them, fold them over. We're going to put them in the paper shredder for you. That's the receiving of love. That's the receiving of God's grace for you, okay? That will symbolize for those of us that practice the foot washing when someone's washing our feet, all right? The giving of love. If you're not able, again, to participate in the foot washing service and want to remain here in the church, you can do so. But take some time between now and when we partake of the emblems and express some form of love to someone near you. Let them know maybe you haven't told them how much you value them lately or appreciate them. Show some expression of love. That will be symbolic again of our giving of love as we wash another's feet. Is this making sense? So take a few moments. I'll give you a couple minutes to do so. To write onto scribble paper or scribble on it or draw pictures.